this episode of GeoTalk, we have Yumcha with SA Parrothead from South Australia, Noikmeister reaches a milestone in Canberra, and we take a look at how to enter your coordinates and project a waypoint using a GPS. All this and more on GeoTalk. Welcome to episode 53 of GeoTalk, and apologies once again for the delay. It's been a very, very busy time of the year for the spin doctors, and over the next few months, we're actually only going to put out the odd podcast here or there, so I'm sorry if you've been missing us greatly, because you might miss us a little bit over the next few months. We'll probably do about one a month between now and the end of the year, but thank you to those who have been asking where the podcast is. Anyway, in the Spin Doctor's household, we haven't been doing a great deal of caching, but we have got an iPhone, and I am itching to try it out over the next few weeks to try out some of the geocaching applications. And the first one that's on my list is Groundspeak's new free geocaching app, which is a bit of an introductory one. It's not meant to be for people who are already into geocaching. It's for those who are thinking of getting into it. And I think it allows you to only find the three nearest caches to your current location. And then after that, it locks up. So we'll give that a try, and we'll mention how that works in one of the next podcasts. And because Nay's got the iPhone, I get the Omnia. So I've got the Windows mobile platform, and I've been playing with it over the last few weeks, and I've found at least one application that I think is the bee's knees for Windows Mobile, and that's Cachebox. So I'm going to give that a run over the next few months and see how that one goes, and I'll report back to you on that one. As many people know, one of my other hats is with the Geocaching New South Wales Association, and they've just released their GeoCoin for 2009. You should check it out. Go to their website at geocachingnsw.asn.au. So that's geocachingnsw for New South Wales. .asn.au. They've got a link on the top of the homepage there to the GeoCoin 2009. The sales of that coin, which is a beautiful coin, it's in the shape of the state of New South Wales, and it's got the Waratah on one side and the Three Sisters on the other. The proceeds for that go to help raise funds for the association and the work that it's doing and will be doing in the future. So check that out. And don't forget the Oz Mega Wagga Wagga Mega event is going to be happening on the 2nd of April through to the 5th of April 2010, and it's really coming up soon. I think we're down to about 6 months left. It's now been listed on Groundspeak's website, and the GC code is GC1YJ5R. So that's GC1YJ5R. I'll give you a link in the show notes so you can help find that for you. But don't forget that you really need to book your accommodation now. The reason for that is there is going to be a couple of events occurring in the Wagga Wagga region over the Easter break. And of course, it's also Easter, so a lot of people get away and head out and about, and some of those people will be heading to Wagga. So head to the website. It's rivcache.com. So it's rivcache.com. That's rivcache.com. Check out all the information there. It tells you a lot about what's happening at the mega event. And we hope to see you down at Wagga Wagga for the Oz Mega Wagga Wagga Mega event in April 2010. And one last thing in news, for the WWFM, the Worldwide Flash Mob number 6, will be happening on the 14th of November, or 15th, depending on where you are and how they're being hosted. For those who don't know, the Worldwide Flash Mob is a 15-minute geocaching event. It's a very short one, and it was all started by Sunny and Sandy from the Podcacher podcast. And if you want to find out a bit more about WWFM, go to podcacher.com, and they'll have links on the WWFM number 6. There's four being held in Australia. There's Brisbane, Melbourne, Canberra, and Wollongong. Now, there won't be one held in Sydney this time. I know that the Spin Doctors, we've held the last two in Sydney, but the reason we won't be is because we'll be holding one in Nandi over in Fiji. So if you happen to be over in the South Pacific and you're looking for a geocache event to attend, we'll be holding ours on the morning of the 15th at 6 a.m. So we're trying to coincide ours with the San Diego one. So it'll be happening at exactly the same time. So there's a link in the show notes to the Fiji event and to the Australian events. Otherwise, also go to podcacher.com to check out about the WWFM. Well, before we get into a bit of Yum Cha with SR Parrothead, it's time for the trivia question for this episode. And I've got to give a big thanks to Jeremy, known as Noikmeister. And Noikmeister is actually going to feature a little bit later in the podcast. But the question that he asks, and he's put together all the answers for this, where are the highest geocaches in each state of Australia? So where or which caches are the highest in each state of Australia? The answer to that at the end of the podcast. Well, Geo Talk listeners, here we are sitting in a Chinese restaurant in Chinatown in Sydney and over in Haymarket, and we just finished having a lovely Yum Cha lunch with SA Parrothead, and I think I might get them to introduce themselves.
G'day, this is Andrew from SA Parrothead.
And I'm Deborah.
Now, we've just done a little bit of caching around the city. You guys are from Adelaide. What brought you over here?
It was my 50th birthday, and I've always wanted to climb the Sydney Harbour Bridge, so that was a go. Yet last night, did the climb.
And how did it go?
Oh, it went really well. There was a bit of lightning when we got up to the very top, so they had to rush us down, but that was quite spectacular, seeing the lightning strikes in the distance.
Excellent. And have you done much caching while you've been here?
Done a few. I think I'm up to about 15, so that's been nice, just going around the city, and love the botanical gardens. Sea monsters should get a look in for people looking for a nice cache.
Now, Deborah, you've obviously looked like you've been dragged along to some of these caches. How have you found caching around the Sydney area?
Well, there's a lot of walking, and yeah, it's not my type of thing, some of it, because I sort of like the traditional caches, and a lot of them, yeah, some of them Andrew hasn't been able to find. So, but yeah, I'm happy to be dragged along. It's good.
What's been the most interesting thing that you've seen while you've been caching with Andrew around Sydney?
The Botanic Gardens yesterday. I loved that, walking around there and looking out over the water, especially with the rain, and we'd been to Watson's Bay in the morning, and so coming off and walking all around the gardens, that was absolutely beautiful.
Okay, and what about for yourself? You mentioned to me earlier that you visited Lane Cove, Australia's oldest cache. I mean, what was the reason for going there? Stupid question, obviously.
Well, I was approaching a milestone, and I really wanted something that I thought would be a bit special, and considering that seems to be the oldest cache ever in New South Wales, I thought 3,600 Lane Cove will be the go.
What did you sense anything spiritual while you were standing there on the location, or which we should say, near the location?
Well, I'd seen Astro's pose bowing to the rock sort of thing, so that got me into the spirit of it when I got there, so probably added to it for me.
All right, so tell us a little bit about your caching. When did you start, and what got you into it?
Started in April 2004, and I knew a guy at work who was caching, so he introduced me to it. So I'd bought a GPS because I like to go wandering around, and I didn't realise about geocaching, and he twigged me into it, and from there we were off and running.
And you've been doing it for a few years now. You mentioned you're up to 3,600. Has the addiction worn off yet?
No, we love it, and that's almost a way of life for us now. We meet lots of people. I heard a quote the other day, and I think I'm taking it on board. It's all about the numbers of people you meet, so I'm sticking with that.
Deborah, over the last sort of 4.5 years, what have you enjoyed out of geocaching with Andrew?
I think, like Andrew, it's all about meeting the people, and getting out and about and seeing things that we hadn't seen before. We've always been travellers around, and we've always dragged our children with us to all these different places, but it's usually the the common places that everybody goes to. But we've gone and seen little places that we didn't even know existed in the places that we've been to, so that's been fantastic.
And she's watching events. She loves
and
events.
I love events. I absolutely love doing events. I love organising them and getting everyone there and seeing the joy on their face and having a good time. And just recently discovering the Outback has been fantastic. The Udna data track last year, and then up through the territory this year. It's just brilliant.
So tell us about, obviously you've been around the country a bit and done a little bit of caching. What are some of the highlight regions first for you, Andrew, and then for you, Deborah?
I think highlight for me was, I think I said it first time I came around to do an interview with you, was when I went across the Simpson Desert. That was just magnificent doing that. But we've certainly enjoyed going to Broome, and on the way back through Darwin, Kakadu was Catherine was just a great little spot to cache in. Really well thought out and nicely placed.
Yeah, I think my favourite spot has been Ubia in Kakadu. Climbing up on the escarpment at Ubia and looking at all the rock paintings, that was just magical for me. I absolutely loved it.
Would you have done that without geocaching, before geocaching?
I've always wanted to go to Kakadu, but I don't think I would have explored to the same degree that I explored from geocaching. I think that's given me the idea that there are more places than you can actually see, and so you go looking for the little bits and pieces. And sometimes when you've just had enough of walking and you just don't want to do any more, you just go, nah, there's more to see, and so to keep going. And I think that's what it was like with Ubia. We just looked everywhere out there. Yeah.
Well, what advice would you give to new players in the game?
Oh, I think check out GCA Forum is always a good starting place. See what other people do and contact other people. Other people are definitely your friends in this game. I think how you find a lot of things and build your knowledge is interacting with other geocaches.
And a question that I asked cheekily earlier, and I'll ask again. I mean, what is it about geocaching in Adelaide? Is it because you guys have nothing to do out there, or is, what gives such a vibrant geocaching community?
I think because South Australians are passionate about what they do. So if we take on something, we really try and make it work. When you had the Grand Prix, we really whacked into it. You know, we got the Tour Down Under. It's just, we seem to take on to things in South Australia and just try to make them work.
I suppose another example in geocaching sense would be, as you mentioned, Deborah, the events that you have and also the fairly large one that was held over the Queen's birthday weekend. Tell us a little bit about that.
That one started out like any other one that we did. And, of course, in the time that we put it up a little bit earlier this year than we had done in the past, so people had plenty of notice. That gave them all time to plan, which we knew would increase the amount of people. But, of course, Andrew and I went away for a month just prior to it. And when we came back, the interest was just phenomenal. We had to cut off numbers for the dinner that we have with it because so many people wanted to come. People just get so excited about it, and maybe it is because we don't have anything else to do there. But it's just a friendly group of people. They all come. This year, though, there was a little more competition between some of the players, which has proved to be interesting. But for me, yeah, I love organising it for people and, you know, seeing them come along. This year was particularly good because it was really wet and muddy, and everyone seemed to come back laughing and telling their adventures of all the mud and showing their pictures. So, yeah, that was brilliant.
All right, well, you do realise I'm being cheeky, and I apologise to all those South Australian listeners out there. Being an ex-Victorian, I had to put the boot in somewhere. So, final question, are we going to see you both at Wagga?
Oh, definitely. I've already booked 2 weeks annual leave. I'm definitely going to be there. I wouldn't miss it.
And I presume you're coming along, obviously.
Absolutely coming along. Can't wait to see how they organise it, the event. Yep.
Yeah, it could be a big effort. Well, look, it's been a lot of fun spending lunchtime with the two of you guys, walking around, finding a few Sydney caches, those that are still around, and all safe trip back to Adelaide, and hope to bump into you very soon.
Thank you.
Now, a quick reminder that if you contribute to the podcast, whether it's through an interview or you phone in a message, a milestone, a bit of information, or even if you drop us an email with a tip for geocaches listening to the podcast. We put you into the draw to win a prize from geocachestore.com.au. And a big thank you to the guys at geocachestore.com.au for providing that prize for each month. So everyone who contributed to this particular episode, they're going into the draw for October. So if you want to go into the draw for November, drop us an email at geotalkpodcast@gmail.com, or you can phone it in on 02-800-50-436. Now, I find that's probably the easiest way in which you can send an email, send in a message. So just key it into your phone now and save it in your contacts. That's 02-800-50-436. And call it in when you reach a milestone. Well, speaking of which, as I said, Noikmeister is going to appear in this podcast. So here's Jeremy. He's going to take us on a bit of a tour as he knocks off a couple of milestones in the Canberra region.
G'day, Darren. Jeremy from Canberra here, also known as Noikmeister. Just calling in to say that I'm heading off to look for my last cache to fill out my 3-3 well-rounded cache square, and also my 180th cache. And hopefully, if I make a find, it'll be my 25th day in a row with a find. So I'll give you a call back. This is the only Terrain 1 difficulty 2.5 cache in Canberra, and it's completely on the other side of town from me. So I found myself out here for work. I thought I'd duck off and give it a go. I'll give you a call back. Bye. I'm sitting in the car on a rainy public holiday Monday morning, about to go off on a 10-kilometre wander and hopefully pick up my 200th cache find. And I'll be taking in quite a few hilltop caches, which is a bit of a tradition in Canberra, and finishing off by placing a hilltop cache on a fairly high, steep hill down at the very back of Canberra called Big Monks. Anyway, if things go disastrously wrong, all right, I'll give you a call back. See ya. Top of Mount Tuggeranong, about 850 metres, just about. And I've just found Tuggeranong's top after starting down at the car at about 650 metres, I suppose, around there somewhere anyway. And I did nobly native Tuggeranong on the way up here. So I'll call you when I get to the next highest summit. See ya. G'day, Jeremy again, up here at cache number 200, Eagle Mountain by Secret Squirrel BJC. And having gone from the top of Tuggeranong, I got pickles, poos and views, and then went down as low as 644 metres again, and now I'm back up at 837 metres. Two peaks to go, and that'll be the end of my Monday adventure. Soaked in sweat, but absolutely loving it. Bye. Well, I'm at the Trig, which is not waymarked and not been listed on Geocaching Australia as a Trig Point cache, so I've just marked that. I'm at 924 metres now. It's raining. I got hailed on the way up here, but luckily it was only a little bit. And I'm just having a bit of a breather here under what seems to be a fig tree, oddly enough, at this altitude, but not much of a botanist. And I'll give you one last call from the spot where I'm going to place the Big Monks cache. Bye. G'day, Darren. Just finished placing the Big Monks cache. Hopefully in a pretty good spot that won't get muddled. Can't see too many people coming up here. So I just wanted to say thanks to all the people in Canberra who put out all the caches that I just did today. It's been a huge day, and I've really enjoyed it. And the sun is actually coming out, would you believe, which is just like Canberra in springtime. Very unpredictable. See you, Darren. Look forward to GeoTalk. Bye.
Well, thanks very much, Jeremy, for taking us around the ACT and sharing those milestones. You've just reminded me, I've still got two more caches to get my 4-4 well-rounded cache, and one of them happens to be down in Canberra. It's one of those pesky secret squirrel caches. I wonder if anyone's going to bother to help me with that one. Well, it's now time to have a look at some of the events that are occurring around the country. On the 29th of October is the Eat and Meet the Canberrans by Skippy in South Australia. On the 31st of October is A Night to Remember by Backpacker and Squalid and Rabideau down in Victoria. And also on the 31st of October is Paint It Black by Fredo the Frog in South Australia. On the 4th of November is the ACT November 09 Geo Lunch by 0319. And on the 8th of November is the Hunter Valley Geocaches Meet and Greet by the Cache Man, the Wobblies and the Don. And also don't forget, on the 14th of November are the WWFM events, which, as I mentioned, will be held in Brisbane, Wollongong, Melbourne and Canberra. So check out those on the show notes. geotalkpodcast.com. Well, here's a very quick geocaching tip for you for this episode. And don't forget, if you've got a geocaching tip that you want to share with us, it has, whether it's to do with your GPS or finding or hiding geocaches or even just planning for them, drop us an email at geotalkpodcast@gmail.com or phone it in on 02800 50 436. Love to hear from you. Remember, all the contributions to this show go into the draw each month to win a prize from geocachestore.com.au. Well, this one we're just going to look briefly at marking waypoints and also projecting waypoints. Now, you know, a lot of us use GSAC or CacheMate and some of the other different web and based tools and also computer-based tools for loading coordinates into our GPS, but a lot of us have actually forgotten how to enter them in. Now, if you take a look at your GPS, most units will have a button or a function called mark. And when you've got your unit switched on, if you've got a signal, if you press that mark button, it'll actually place a flag or put a point at your current location. Now, you can actually move your cursor, whether it's using the rocker wheel or the joystick or the little pad that's on the front of your GPS, and you can highlight those coordinates, press enter, and then change the coordinates. And that's one way of being able to quickly sort of enter in some coordinates. If you don't have a data connection, you've got a printout of the cache listing. Now, another thing is projecting waypoints. Now, most GPSs will have this ability, but if yours doesn't, there's a quick and nasty way in which you can do it. Now, I found this was quite useful until I actually found out that my GPS does have projecting waymarks. So what you do is, say, for example, you need to go 200 meters north of the point where you are. What you do is make sure you've still got the GPS taking you to that location. Of course, while you're standing there, it should be around about zero or within a few meters, and then start walking in the direction that you're meant to project. So if you're 200 meters north, start walking roughly in a north direction. And of course, if you haven't quite worked out that yet, that's the direction where the sun is at about midday here in Australia. So start heading where you think the sun was at midday, and then watch the arrow and the counter on your GPS, and you'll see it will start to increase as you move away from the point. And you'll also notice that the arrow should be pointing to the south, because that is where it's guiding you back to the waypoint that you're walking from. So keep walking in a straight line heading north, avoiding any trees or sort of holes and so forth. But make sure that as you're heading north, that arrow points to the south, because that's where the original point is. And once you get to 200, there you are. You've moved 200 meters north. So all you need to do is just sort of flip the compass coordinates around. So if you need to head east, then make sure as you're walking away from the point, then the arrow is pointing to the west. And similarly, if you need to head to the southwest, then make sure that the arrow is pointing to the northeast as you're heading off from it. Of course, the best thing to do is take a compass with you. Well, that's our GeoTalk tip for this particular episode. If you've got one, love to hear from you. Send it in or call it into the GeoTalk hotline. Being away for a couple weeks longer than we normally are, we've only got one thing in the GeoTalk mailbag for this episode. And once again, it's from Canberra. They're a very busy mob down there in Canberra. Don't know what the rest of the country is doing. So let's have a listen to who's rung into the hotline.
G'day, Darren. Kim, aka Agent Basil. As promised, 250th cache, Arabian Caravan. It almost killed me. They say that the southern face is a tough one, but the northern face, I thought, let's try the eastern face, which is just as hard. But views are magnificent. I feel a bit chuffed. Time for a banana, and catch you later. See ya.
Well, that's just about it for this episode of GeoTalk. But before we go, as we always do, we've got to give you the answers to the GeoTalk trivia question. And in this episode, once again, thank you to Neukmeister for the question. What are the highest caches in each state of Australia? Well, the highest one in the country happens to be the highest one in New South Wales, which is Mount Kosciuszko Earth Cache, and that's at 2,216 metres. The highest one in Victoria, which is actually featured in a GeoTalk video edition, is Big Fella at 1,972. Next highest one is the ACT, which is the top ACT Bimbury Wilderness, 1,898 metres. Then Queensland, with Queensland Top Secret on 1,589 metres elevation. The Northern Territory comes in next, that's quite a surprise, with Neath the Painted Sky, 1,328. Tasmania, their highest cache is Trig Point Scenes 1 at 1,258 metres. South Australia comes in next with Dizzy Thoughts or Confusion at 1,112 metres elevation. And the highest cache in Western Australia is Driving High and Nameless, 1,099 metres elevation. Sounds like there's a little goal that some of us might want to set, see if we can knock off all of those top caches in Australia. And very briefly before we go, we had two contributors to this podcast, so it's a fairly easy draw. So we'll stir up the barrel, pick a name out, and Neukmeister. Congratulations, you've won the prize from geocachestore.com.au for contributing in the month of October. Give us a yell and we'll send your prize out your way soon. Well, that's it for this episode of GeoTalk. In our next episode, which will be coming out in November, we're going to speak to a record-breaking team about a new record they've set here in Australia. Until next time, safe geocaching. Thank you.